Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week is part four in a series called Must Know Truths About Israel. Although there are many teachable events happening in the news, we must keep our eye on Israel because Israel is a major focus in biblical end time prophecy. And much of what's happening in international geopolitical events is the providential hand of God reestablishing and positioning the state of Israel. Now, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, Israel will be scattered among the nations until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The return of Israel is a sign that we're coming to the end of the age of the Gentiles, this current dispensation of God, where the message of the kingdom of Christ is offered to the nations. Also, Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, my guess is that once the Gentile nations, having received the gospel of the kingdom enthusiastically, then rejecting the gospel, just as the Jews rejected the gospel, their time of opportunity is over. And this is what we've seen happening in the once professing Christian nations, throwing off their identity with Christ and Christianity in favor of pluralistic secular humanism, you know, 20th century being the century of secularism and pluralism. But the bottom line is that the resurgence of Israel is a sign that this current age is coming to an end. And that was my first point in this series. Point number one, the state of Israel is a sign in God's prophetic timetable. Point number two, Israel in her return from the diaspora is unclean, unholy, impure. That was the message of the prophet Haggai in Israel's first return from the diaspora in 500 BC, where the prophet said, this nation and all the works of their hands is unclean. And this was also the message in the prophet Ezekiel concerning the current return from the diaspora, where the prophet Ezekiel explained that God is returning the Jews to the land, not for their sake or because they're holy, but for the sake of God's holy name. And this truth counters the argument that we hear often that Zionism and the rebuilding of the Jewish state can't be of God because the Jewish people aren't righteous enough. Point number three is that there is an unsound rise in anti-Zionism in the evangelical church today. Point number four, according to prophecy, God will be moving the Jews back to the land of Israel. Not only is this a prophecy, this is an undeniable fact. And the next must know truth about Israel for today's program, point number five, the land of Israel belongs to the Jews. Now, that may seem like an obvious assumption given the other points that were made, but this is a very important standalone point that must be defended. The conflict in the Middle East is over who owns the land of Israel. Settle that and the conflict's over. Settle the issue that the Jews have a God-given right to the land and anti-Zionists will be silenced. Now, the anti-Zionist left and the Islamists are not going to believe what the Bible has to say about God giving the land of Israel to the Jews, but that's to be expected. Leftism sees the Jews as white colonizers, and the Jews as the oppressors of the Muslim Palestinian Arabs. You know, Islam believes that all of the land belongs to Allah and must be conquered for Islam. And leftist Jewish groups are opposed to the Jews returning to the land, such as the group Jewish Voice for Peace. From their website, quote, we have a plan to end U.S. support for Israel's oppression of Palestinians. But still, all of these groups that are opposed to Israel must be put on notice that the Holy Scriptures say that the land belongs to the Jewish people. And the greater objective here is to make sure that Christian people are not deceived by false arguments that the land doesn't belong to the Jews. The church needs to be firm on Israel's right of return, and that will have a salt and light effect upon unbelievers. So let's begin with some basic scriptures. Genesis chapter 12, verse 6. Abraham passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." Also Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see I will give to you and your descendants forever." Now, I can hear the arguments from some of my Christian Reformed friends that this was Old Testament and temporary, that this is not New Testament. Well, I'll address that in a moment. But just first hear the simple, straightforward statements in the book of Genesis about the descendants of Abraham and the land. And we all know that many of the principles laid down in the book of Genesis are timeless as far as this earth is concerned. As in Genesis chapter 10, verse 5, the nations were separated into their lands, each one according to his language, according to their families, into their nations. And that still applies in the New Testament. And if you want to wrestle with the verse, there is Deuteronomy 32, 8, when the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of men, he set the boundaries of the people according to the number of the sons of Israel. So don't be so sure that the land grant given to Abraham and his descendants was temporary or only related to the Old Covenant. For example, we understand that the New Testament teaches in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave or free man. There is neither male nor female. But that only applies to heavenly citizenship. Earthly callings and boundaries are still valid. Unless you want to start arguing that now that we're in the New Testament, there is no longer male or female, and we all need to be transgender. And these land promises given to Abraham and his descendants were given before Moses and the Old Covenant. And we remember Paul's point in the book of Galatians that the law of Moses doesn't invalidate any of the previous covenants ratified by God given to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17, what I'm saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. In Genesis, God established by oath that the land of Israel belongs to the descendants of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7, Genesis 13, verse 15, chapter 17, verse 8, chapter 24, verse 7, chapters 26, verses 3 through 4, chapter 28, verse 4, chapter 28, verse 13, 35, 12, and 48, 4. So one should be very cautious in coming up with a theology that says it's not so. Furthermore, God said about Ishmael, the father of the Arabs, "He shall live in the land east of Israel." Those were the lands appointed to the Arabs. And in Genesis 25, 18, we read that Ishmael and his descendants did settle in the Arabian Peninsula. There's even a surah in the Quran that states that God assigned to the Jews the land we now call Israel, what's known as Palestine. Now, the spin the Muslims put on this surah is that because the Jews were disobedient to God and not driving out all of the Canaanites, the land now belongs to the Muslim Arabs, who are allegedly the true followers of Allah. But there is a tiny minority of Muslims who actually support Israel's right to the land. Now, here's an article from a couple of weeks ago A group of Palestinian tribal leaders from Hebron in the West Bank, led by Sheikh Wadi al-Jabari, have proposed breaking away from the Palestinian Authority and establishing an independent emirate that would recognize the State of Israel. The group declares that there should be no Palestinian state. Now, this proposal has been met with rejection from other Palestinians who say the plan doesn't represent them. But notice that there are some Arabs who believe God gave the land of Israel to the Jews. Also, last week, a group of Muslim Druze signed a petition to support and fight alongside Israel. Also, recently, the Muslim Prime Minister of Malaysia made a statement recognizing Israel's right to exist and to the right to defend herself. And of course, he was rebuked by the majority of Muslim leaders. Last week, a group of European Muslim imams met with the President of Israel in the UK. And they said that they defend Israel's right to exist. And they said that we're all children of Abraham. For saying that, the imam from the Netherlands was fired from his mosque. Now, we would imagine that the Arabs, the sons of Abraham through Ishmael, would accept the fact that God gave the land of Israel to Isaac and his descendants, and that God gave the land to the west, to Ishmael and Ishmael's descendants. And they have recognized this, and they would have continued to recognize this, but along came the false prophet Muhammad and Islam, who taught a hatred for Israel and Israel's right to exist. In the 1993 Oslo Accords, the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, now the Palestinian Authority, recognized Israel's right to exist and accepted the United Nations resolutions concerning Israel. However, in 2018, the Central Council suspended Palestine's recognition of Israel. Now, the Muslim organization Hamas in Gaza on the east has, right from the very beginning, had in their 1988 charter a call for the destruction of Israel and the establishment of an Islamic State in the land of Palestine. Their goal has always been to destroy the Jewish nation and the Jews. Well, anyway, let's get back to what the Bible has to say about the Jews having a right to the land of Israel. In the section in the book of Ezekiel about the future prophesied return of the Jews to the land, the phrase, their own land, is continually repeated. Ezekiel 36:19. God says, I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the lands according to their ways and their deeds. I judged them. Verse 24, for I will take you from the nations and gather you from all of the lands and bring you to your own land. Verse 28, you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people and I will be your God. Ezekiel 37:25, they will live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it. Ezekiel 39:28, then they will know that I am the Lord, their God, because I made them go into exile among the nations and then gathered them again to their own land. Jeremiah 16:15, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries where he banished them, for I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. Now, it's true that God himself exiled the Jews from the land that he gave them, but the promise and the prophecy is that they will someday return to their land, and it's still called their own land. Now, again, there are those in the church who claim the title Israel now refers exclusively to the church, so those verses need to be interpreted as applying to the church. Here's that point being made from a Roman Catholic site. Quote, no, modern Israel is not the God-given land of the Jews. The new Israel, based on the new covenant in Christ, is the church. which is not limited to any geographic area or ethnic group. Pope Pius X in 1904 said, "The Jews have not recognized our Lord, therefore we cannot recognize the Jewish people." And this is typical Roman Catholic, the church has replaced Israel, theology. But the point we need to consider is that even though the true Israel of God ultimately only includes genuine believers, the earthly land promises to national Israel are not necessarily invalid. Acts chapter 17, God still divides up the nations and appoints the boundaries of the people's habitation. People groups have land rights given by God, the Greeks in Greece, the Irish in Ireland, the Russians in Russia. It just so happens that the Jewish people have a direct word from God in the Bible about their land rights. For other nations, we must discern based upon natural revelation. You know, one thing's for sure, we shouldn't determine land rights on the basis of might makes right. That the people who have the power to take certain land, therefore own that land. Or Psalm 44:3, by their own sword, they did not possess the land. Dr. Gerald McDermott, a Bible professor at Beeson's Divinity School, also at Reform Episcopal Seminary and Jerusalem Seminary, has a number of books out making the case for the Jews having a current right to the land today. One book's called The New Christian Zionism, and the other book is called Israel Matters. These books are a reaction against his replacement theological training that he received in an Anglican seminary. His study of Scripture taught him otherwise. The Gospel Coalition has a good article reviewing his book called Gerald McDermott's on Why the Land's Promises Belong to Ethnic Israel. McDermott begins by covering all the texts in Genesis concerning the land promises to the descendants of Abraham. But what I find informative is the case he makes that the Jewish right to the land of Israel is supported in the New Testament. Many New Testament scholars claim that the Apostle Paul abandoned Second Temple Judaism and recognized that the land promises as obsolete now that Jesus had come. But McDermott shows that the New Testament teaches the opposite. Jerusalem is called the Holy City in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5, and Matthew 27, verse 53, and in Revelation chapter 11, verse 2. And it's speaking about the literal physical Jerusalem. The author of Hebrews, most likely Paul, writes that God led Abraham to a place to receive as an inheritance, and it's for his descendants. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen said God promised to give Abraham this land and as a possession to his offsprings after him. And in the synagogue of Antioch, Paul said that God gave them their land as their inheritance. I mean, why would Paul say that if the inheritance was no longer valid? In Acts chapter 3, verse 21, Peter says to the Jews that the heavens will receive Jesus until the restoration of all things. And this term restoration is the term used by the Jews in the Septuagint to refer to the return from the diaspora. You know, if the writers of the New Testament believed that national Israel no longer had any land rights in the program of God, well, at the very least, they were silent on this point. Then McDermott makes the case based on Romans chapter 11, verse 29. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable or without repentance or unchangeable. The context of that verse is national Israel, the physical descendants of the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are still part of God's calling. God's promises to them have not been revoked. Now, someone might claim that Paul is referring to spiritual Israel, true believers, the true Israel of God in Romans chapter 11, verse 29. But no, the people Paul is referring to are those who are the enemies of the gospel of Christ. Listen to the verse, Romans 11, 28. From the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. It's speaking about national Israel, the physical Jews. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they, speaking about the same people, are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Well, how can they be beloved for the sake of the fathers? Well, verse 29, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Why? Because the gifts and the calling of God upon the descendants of Abraham are irrevocable. Even though they're the enemies of the gospel of Christ, this is definitely speaking about national, physical, unsaved Israel. The only rational conclusion is that there are still earthly promises in effect for those who are Jews. You know, this is not dispensational versus covenant theology. This is not about a system of theology. This is about the text of Scripture. Let me end by answering some probable questions here. Number one, what about the Palestinian Muslims? Don't they have a right to the land? I mean, they had already settled there, and at the very least, they have squatter rights. Well, obviously, Israel should be compassionate toward foreigners, those who, through no fault of their own, ended up being raised in a territory that belongs to a different people group. And Israel has accepted many Muslim Arabs as citizens. 25% of the Knesset is Arab. However, Arabs and other foreigners need to accept the fact that the land belongs to the Jews and to the Jewish nation, and they are there as guests. And the solution is not to create a Palestinian state in Israel. The solution is for these Arabs to eventually return to their own lands. If you find yourself on someone else's land, you have to eat the losses and move on. Same is true when you buy a stolen car or you buy a fake title deed to a piece of real estate. You don't get to own it by possession. You know, many of these Arabs in Israel, especially on the Gaza Strip, would love to emigrate to a Muslim country, but they're being kept there in Israel by Islamists for ideological reasons, pretty much against their will. Now, by what authority do the Jews get the land of Israel? Well, because of the Word of God. The Christians believe it, but just because others do not doesn't make the claim to the land invalid. Because the whole problem everywhere and everything is that people just don't believe the Word of God. Opinions and feelings shouldn't have nothing to do with the issue. We have the Word of God on this matter. A second question or accusation is that the Jews are creating an apartheid state, a nation of Jewish people who believe in Judaism. Now, for the left, those who believe that truth is relative and that all cultures are equal, and they believe in the philosophy of globalism, for them, no people group or ethnicity should ever possess a nation, because that would be bigotry or prejudice. They want to actually tear down all differences and all cultures and make the world one. But that's the philosophy of humanism. That's not the philosophy of Christianity. In the book of Genesis and the book of Acts, God divided up the people according to their families. Now, last week, the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, pulled Pentagon officials off of attending a globalist conference in Aspen. And Hegseth said, quote, "The conference promotes the evil of globalism, disdain for our great country, and hatred of the President of the United States." So why does Hegseth react that way to globalism, when the left sees globalism as a virtue? Well, because Hegseth is a Christian. He attends an evangelical Christian church, and he has a Christian worldview that God created separate sovereign nations. You know, even as in our Declaration of Independence, among the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the law of nature and nature's God entitles them. For Israel to be an apartheid nation in her values and religion is perfectly acceptable to God. Third, what about America? If the Jewish people can remove the people who are occupying their land, don't the Native Americans have a case to remove Europeans from America? Well, the first historic fact that needs to be recognized is that the Indian lands that the New Englanders colonized were occupied by Indian tribes who themselves killed off and stole the land from other tribes. So who really owns the land? Second, many of these tribes joined with the settlers and eventually became part of America. Where are the Native Americans today? Most of them are American citizens. Third, just as God decreed that because of the idolatry and the immorality of the Canaanites lost their land rights, and the land was given to another people, in the same way we recognize today that due to the sin of a people group, they may lose their land rights. And that has certainly been the Christian understanding of the decline of the Mayan and the Inca empires. The bottom line is that each situation has to be discerned through Scripture and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But when it comes to Israel, we actually have a text of Scripture to direct us. Our support for Israel is not a matter of opinion or conjecture. It's based upon our faith in Scripture, the revelation of God to man. And on that, I will end. Thanks for listening. May God richly bless you as you delight in the law of the Lord, Psalm chapter 1, and may Jesus Christ reign.